If you have your Bibles, will you open them, please, to the last chapter of the book of the Revelation, where we are studying the various exhortations with which the book is brought to a close. The last time that we were together, we were looking at the invitation to the Lord Jesus Christ to return to the earth in response to the fact that he said he was coming. In the 17th verse we read, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come, let him that heareth say, Come." We pointed out to you that this was not a gospel invitation, but rather it was an invitation from the Spirit and from the Church, from anyone who realizes what it means for Christ to return to this earth. However, the gospel invitation is given in the 17th verse, and we did not have time to look at it. We call it to your attention today. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Beloved, in the light of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, the gospel invitation should be emphasized more clearly, distinctly, definitely than ever before. So to every thirsty soul, there is sent out a kind invitation, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. This invitation given nearly 2,000 years ago is still pertinent. If you are thirsty, longing for that which will satisfy, then come and take of the water of life. There is no restriction. Whosoever will is welcome to come. The water of life will be given freely. As we continue our consideration of the exhortations of the last chapter of the book of the Revelation in the light of the coming of the Lord, we draw to your attention the 18th verse of Revelation chapter 22. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. These words bring to our mind something that we noticed in the very first lesson in the book of the Revelation. It may be wise to call it to your mind, because it would be difficult after this long period of study for you to remember it immediately. But do you remember that in chapter 1 of verse 3, John said, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep or treasure those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." The man who reads the book of the Revelation, the man who cannot see but listens to it read, are promised a blessing. On the other side of the picture, we are told here in verse 18 that if any individual who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if he is familiar with it, if he knows what it is all about, and he adds to what is written in the book, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. That is how valuable these sayings are. God does not want anybody to tamper with the truths of the book of the Revelation. If anyone adds to it, then he can expect God to deal with him. In verse 19, we read, "If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Now I'm going to be perfectly honest with you today and tell you that verse 18 is not as clear to me as is verse 19. or rather verse 19 is not as clear to me as verse 18. There is a difficulty of clear understanding here for the honest person. I don't know exactly how people can add to what is written in the book of the Revelation, but I have heard people take away from the words of the book of the Revelation. I can understand that. I have heard people say that this is not the word of God. I have heard people say that God did not mean what he said. I have heard people say that it is not important. God said such individuals are taking away from the book of the Revelation and will have their part removed from the book of life. I repeat, it's difficult for me to see how people could add to the book, but it isn't difficult for me to see how they could take away from the book. I do want to pause long enough on that statement, that is, that individuals who take away from the book of life shall have their part taken, those who take away from the book of the Revelation, rather, shall have their part taken from the book of life. I do want to pause long enough on that statement to remind you that earlier in our study of the book of the Revelation, we had a detailed discussion of the difference between the book of life and the Lamb's Book of Life. Time will not permit us today to go into that again, but I want to remind you that he's not talking about Christians here. Christians have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and anybody who has his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life never has it removed. He is talking here about the Book of Life, which simply means that every individual who is born into the world has a right to be saved. But if an individual does not accept what is in the book of the Revelation and deliberately takes away from it, he is denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. If an individual denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no way for him to be saved. No matter how good he is, no matter how nice he is, no matter how moral he is, if he does not believe that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God, he cannot believe that Jesus Christ is able to save. And if he does not believe that Jesus Christ is able to save, then he is doomed and damned for all eternity. That reminds us of the second exhortation concerning the coming of the Lord, which you notice in verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. This 12th verse is what we might call a two-pointed arrow. It points to verse 11, and it points to the succeeding verses as well. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am coming. I am coming soon. In the light of the fact that I'm coming soon, it would pay people to investigate their spiritual condition. For in verse 11, he said, when I have come, that will be the end of things as far as people's spiritual condition is concerned. As long as the Lord Jesus Christ tarries, beloved, at the right hand of the throne of God, it is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, not in the air, but to the earth, and his feet actually stand upon the Mount of Olives, as far as people who are alive at that particular time are concerned, there will be no more hope. That's the reason why he says in verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. You cannot do anything about it. Unjust men, filthy men, will have to remain so throughout all eternity. There is no such thing as a second chance after death. When the age of grace is over, it is over. And he says, by the same principle, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. This simply says that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and finds you in a specific state, that is the condition in which you will remain throughout all eternity. There is no way of changing things after the Lord comes. You remember the story of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, I'm sure, recorded in Matthew chapter 25. The five foolish virgins would have given anything to change their situation after the bridegroom came, but there was no way to do it. It was as it was, and it remained so. So I would urge you today, if you have neglected to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to give serious consideration to your condition while there is yet hope, while it is yet the age of grace, while there is yet the opportunity to receive Christ. The day will come, beloved, when the door will be shut, and it matters not how long and how loud you beat upon that door, that will not open it. In verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." His word settles things, and he says, when he returns, that the individuals involved will be in the condition in which they are found. I have a question for you today that I would like for you to consider very personally, and that question is, in what condition are you at the present moment? If the Lord Jesus Christ should come today, in what condition would he find you? If the Lord Jesus Christ should come today, would he find you righteous, or would he find you unjust? Would he find you a believer, or would he find you an unbeliever? If he should come today in the air, he would gather up to himself all believers and leave to go through the terrible hour of trial that is coming to try the world, all those who have not received Christ. I am wondering, would you be taken or left? Make your decision for Christ today, so that if he should come, you would be ready.